Sorry, guys. So who we have tonight, it's an honor for me to actually have him on the call. The very first book that I read in Ambient Energy was the book that was called The Four Color Personality and Icebreakers. Those are the two books that were given to me by an executive consultant, Dale Pogue, and they were by Big Al Schrider. And I became a student of him right away. And it's just been incredible what I've learned over the years from Big Al. And we've had the opportunity to meet a few times too also. But tonight, you have the opportunity to learn from the master himself. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Tom Big Al Schrider. Sir, are you on, sir?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Wonderful. So thank you very much for having, you know, giving us the time to come on this call, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Look forward to it. And for people who have a notepad right now, let's learn something right away in case we have to leave quickly. And that is how to get an appointment with somebody. And you say, well, I want to talk to my friend, but, you know, they're kind of close and I don't feel comfortable. And I hate asking for appointments because, you know, people might tell me no and I'll get rejected. Or how about talking to our uncle who intimidates us? You know, he's a big time lawyer, and how can I call him and not feel bad? So I was on a cruise, and one of the guests on the cruise, kind of a mastermind, he told a story of how he could get anybody to do appointments. And the man said, you know, I'm a big time consultant, but they hired me to do this big fundraising. So they're going to have this big fundraising dinner, and they wanted to get a whole bunch of people there. So there's 12 executives in the room. These are red personalities, you know, eat their young, you know, fire people. They're all in their black suits and red ties. And he says, I had these 12 executives in the room. And I said, all right, you know, for this fundraising dinner, we all have to do our share. Call all of your friends, all of your workers, all your associates, people you know, and invite them to the dinner on Saturday. And he looked at those 12 people and their faces, all the blood left their faces. And he looked at them and says, what? Oh, what's the problem? And the executives said, well, we're not comfortable calling our friends and, you know, kind of taking advantage of our power, or calling our relatives. And he says, really? You're big time people. You eat, you're young, and you're afraid to make these phone calls? So here's the lesson. If big time powerful executives are hesitant and sometimes afraid to make phone calls to make an appointment, if they are afraid, well, guess what? We shouldn't feel bad about being afraid. It's pretty natural. So don't worry about being afraid. So when we call people, there is a way of calling where there's no rejection. They will never feel bad. And what I mean by feel bad is, you know, when a friend calls you and you go, oh, they're going to ask me for money, you know, fundraising for their kids or something. How do I say no without hurting my friend's feeling? He says, there's a way of calling that you will never feel bad. Your friends will never feel bad. Completely rejection free. And it gives you a reason to call, so you don't feel like, you know, I was, you know, kind of tricking you to say we could talk about something. And he said, all you have to do is say these words. So if you have your pen ready, write these down. It says, when you call, you say, I am perfectly comfortable with your decision. I am perfectly comfortable with your decision to look at my business or not. So you start off by saying, I am perfectly comfortable with your decision to look at my business or not. Now, that's the first sentence. Before I give you the second sentence, let's think about the first sentence. What we've told our friend is, I'm okay. Don't worry about it. Don't feel bad if you have to tell me no. I'm not trying to use my influence or our friendship to make you feel guilty or anything. I'm saying I'm okay if you say yes or no. Don't worry about it. And do you notice how we say I'm perfectly comfortable with your decision? It lets them know that they are in charge of their decision. We're not trying to sell them. We're not trying to manipulate them. So I'm perfectly comfortable with your decision to look at this part-time business or not. And they say, wow, so I can say no, and I won't hurt my friend's feelings. I don't have to come up with some phony excuse like I got to pet my cat or let the air out of my tires or something. So the first sentence is, I am perfectly comfortable with your decision to look at this business or not. Here's the second sentence, and it's brilliant. The second sentence is, but I was uncomfortable not asking if you wanted to look and having you think that I didn't care. But I was uncomfortable not asking if you wanted to look. I was uncomfortable not asking if you wanted to look and having you think that I didn't care. Now, that gives us an excuse why we called. We said, you know, it's okay if you don't want to listen to it. I just don't want you to find out 5 years later and say, man, you're my friend and you didn't tell me about it. So just think about this, about pizza. A new pizza shop opens in town and you want to let your friend know about it. You know, you could say, I'm perfectly comfortable with your decision if you want to go to this new pizza shop or not. But I was uncomfortable not calling you and letting you know about it and having you think that I didn't care because I know you like pizza so much. This makes it so easy to talk to relatives. It makes it easy to bring up the business to our friends without sounding sleazy or something like that. So I'm perfectly comfortable with your decision to look at this part-time business or not. But I was uncomfortable not asking if you wanted to look and having you think that I didn't care. So if you're ever intimidated trying to get an appointment, just think about this little formula. It's not the only way. You know, Keith and I wrote a book, a whole book about ways of getting appointments, but this is one of my favorite ones because I don't like taking advantage of friendships. I'm a little bit shy. And when I do this, I just feel so good. And I have a reason why I called. It's not like saying, oh, by the way, here's something. It just makes me feel good. So with that out of the way about getting appointments, let's talk about how we can talk to people correctly. When I started network marketing, here's what I noticed. I worked hard. I talked to lots of people. I had no results, which is kind of discouraging. And I felt bad about it too. But what was worse is other people had results. So what happened is I went to this seminar and they said, you know, Big Al, oh, why don't you have any results? And I said, well, you know, I'm living in Chicago at the time and, you know, it's November and there's snow on the ground. There's no place to park for an opportunity meeting. And the economy is down. You know, what it represents is too expensive. And a lot of people worry about their jobs and inflation. And they said, wait a minute. Do other people in Chicago make bonus checks? And I said, well, yeah. Do they have the same weather you do? Oh, yeah. The same economy you do? Yeah. Same prospects you do? Yeah. Same market area? Yeah. So what happened is they took away all my excuses and said, so what do you think is the difference? And the difference was the people that made big bonus checks, talking to the exact same people I did, exact same area, and me who made no bonus check, what was the difference? The difference was they said different words. When they are with people, They just said different words. It had nothing to do with my attitude. Now, it's good to have a good attitude. It's good to have goals. But when we actually talk to people, they don't care about our attitude. They don't care about our goals. They care about the words we say. So people ask me, well, should I work on my mindset? Absolutely. We want to be positive. We want to look forward. We want to learn new things and improve. But we also need skills. When we talk to people, if we use the wrong words, it doesn't matter what our goals are, we're going to fail. So what I learned was the only difference between me with no money and those people I saw making big checks, the only difference was they said different words. They had learned better skills of what to say. That's it. We both had great attitudes. We both had big goals. We both chanted affirmations in the morning. We sang the company song. We did everything the same, except when they were with people, they changed the words. Now, if you don't think words make a difference, let me do a quick example. Let's say that I'm single and I go on a date with a young lady. And I say to the young lady, when I look in your eyes, time stands still. Or I could use these words instead. Your face would stop a clock. Now, both sets of words describes the exact same thing. But in one case, the lady might smile. In the other case, she might just punch me in the nose. Just because I changed a few words, everything went bad. So other people who make big checks, and if we're starting, we have small checks, they talk to the exact same people. But by learning through trial and error, or if they learn by a book, or they learn from their sponsor, if they learn to say better words, what happens? People will normally say yes. So I'll tell you a story about my friend, and listen to the words that he uses. I'll adjust this just a little bit for your business. But my friend, Jerry, was out to dinner, and he has two daughters. They're about 28 and 30, ages 28 and 30, roughly. So he invited his two daughters to dinner. So it's a nice family dinner. And when dinner is over, his daughter had three friends that came to pick him up. So when they came to pick him up, Jerry asked the three friends, do you know anyone who doesn't have electricity? And all three girls that came to pick up his daughter said, no, not everybody we know has electricity. And he says, do you think most people would like to earn some extra money when people pay their electric bills? And they said, well, yeah, of course they would. And he said to the three friends, if you showed your friends how to do this, collect some extra money when their people pay their electric bills, will they be happy and thank you? Said, well, yeah, they would be thrilled. Yeah, they would thank me. And then he says, would it make you feel good to help people? I say, oh, yeah, it's making me feel good. So when your friends get a chance and help some of their friends have a chance to earn that extra money, would it be okay if we sent you some extra money also every month? I said, well, yeah. He says, well, we're just finishing dinner now, but later on we should talk. And he said, oh, yeah, when can we talk? And these people totally pre-sold just from a easy conversation by the way he chose his words. And you say, wow, that was really good. So I'll go through the words one more time, and you can adjust them to how you like to talk. But the first thing he did is says, do you know anyone who doesn't have electricity? And they say, no, everybody has electricity. Do you think most people would like to, earn some extra money when people pay their electric bills? No, people love to earn extra money when everybody pays their electric bill. Yeah, sure, of course. If you showed some of your friends how to do this, would your friends be happy with you and thank you? Oh, of course they would be happy with me and thank me. Yeah. Does it make you feel good to help people? Yeah, I love helping people. And when you show your friends how they can make some extra money, would it be okay if we send you some extra money for doing that? Well, yeah. Send me some referral payments. So talking to people is a skill we can learn. And you say, well, I sort of get it. But sometimes I'm afraid to start conversations with people. You say, all right, let's start learning how to take care of that. So what we're going to learn right now is something called an icebreaker. An icebreaker is how we take our conversation from social chit-chat, you know, hi, how you doing, how's the weather, how's the kids. We're going to take the conversation from social chit-chat and introduce our business into the conversation, but do it in a socially acceptable way. Now, if somebody's brand new as an associate, do they have trained icebreakers learn what to say? No. So what do? Well, they just make stuff up. They might say something like, hey, you want to change your electricity so I can make a commission? Well, that's probably a pretty stupid way of starting it, but we would see, you know, they chose the wrong words. So how do we comfortably introduce our business into a social situation? Now, I'll show you a bad example. I go to a funeral, and I see the widow, and I say, oh, man, I'm so sorry about your husband passing away, but have you checked your electricity bill lately? And you say, man, that's terrible, Big Al. And the answer is, yeah, that would be terrible. That's probably not a socially acceptable way of doing it. But you say, I want to introduce this great business opportunity. Everybody needs it. And whether rates go up or down, high or low, or the change over the years is going to all even out, and I'm going to, you know, make some money, and I want my friends to make some money. And how do I introduce this in a way that feels genuine and doesn't feel sleazy? So here's what I do. I'm not particularly outgoing. I'm not one of these happy party people, whatever. I'm the one standing over in the corner. So how do I get people to ask me? So the way of getting people to ask me is a little formula. There's lots of ways of breaking the ice. This is not the only way. This is not the best way. It's just one way. But the reason I like this one way is it's so easy and rejection-free that even the newest person in the business can do this comfortably. Now, for an icebreaker formula or a way of opening the conversation to work, it should have three things. Number one, it has to be something that works. I wrote a book on icebreakers, and there's probably 1,000 different icebreakers in there, or almost 1,000 that we could use. But out of those 1,000, we might say, rule number two is we have to have the skills to pull it off. You say, well, but that big leader in the company, his icebreaker is I'm rich and I bought an extra car with my extra money last month. Well, that works, but only works for him because he's rich and has this big check. It won't work for me. So the first rule is it has to work. The second rule is it has to work for us, something within our skill set. But the third rule is the tough one. If we want to start conversations with people, I want you to think, well, there's 1,000 different icebreakers I can use, but I only have skills to use 10 of them because I'm just starting. And out of those 10, there's only one or two of those icebreaker techniques that I would be comfortable with my personality, comfortable with my friends. All right. So this one is so comfortable, you might think, man, I don't want to use anything else. So you're going to need two things to make this icebreaker work. First thing is we're going to need a benefit. So let's write down some benefits very quickly here. The benefits of our business is maybe fire the boss, two paychecks are better than one. That's a good benefit. Stay home with your children while still earning a good bonus check. That's another benefit. Maybe be able to have a three-day weekend instead of just two because we earn extra money. Or earn more money part-time than our boss does full-time. That'd be great. So there's lots of little benefits we could have. So once we have a list of benefits, you say, now which one might work for this person? Okay? So here's the second half of the formula. First half, we've got a whole bunch of benefits we could use. The second half is something called permission. We're going to ask permission to talk about this benefit only if they want to hear about it. So this permission thing is what's going to make us really feel really good inside. So I'll just give a demonstration how that works, and then we'll work a little bit more in the formula. So here's how it works. I'm talking to a friend at work, and like most friends at work, we're complaining about the job. We're complaining about our dream-sucking vampire boss who's taking little bits of our brain out every day, turning us into human zombies, and our coffee breaks are just too short. So in the conversation, I'm going to mention a benefit. I could say, I have a plan to fire the boss so I can work out of my home starting January. Sounds like a pretty good benefit, right? I have a plan to fire the boss and work out of my home starting January. And then I say, would you like to know my plan? Question mark. Now, would you like to know my plan? They have two possible answers. No. So what if they say, no, I don't want to know your plan. I'm really okay with just working here forever. And we say, great. And how was your weekend? That was it. So if they say no, that just means I'm not interested. It's not for me. Let's talk about something else. Normal conversation. But they could also say, yes, tell me your plan. And how would that go? Well, let's do it again. I have a plan to fire the boss and work out of my home full time in January. Would you like to know my plan? And the other person says, yes, I'd like to know your plan. Absolutely, because I hate working here too. Done. And then all you'd have to say is, well, then we should talk. Oh, when should we talk? Well, let's talk during the coffee break. Okay, great. Or let's talk after work. Yeah. Mention a benefit and then ask permission if they want to hear about it. So let me do another example. Conversation, and I say, I have a friend named Maskett. He makes a lot of money every month when people pay their electricity bill. Would you like to know his secret? Yeah, I'd like to know his secret. Great. Let's talk when you have time. Oh, can we talk as soon as I finish work? Yeah. You're sure you'll call me? Yeah. As simple as that. Benefit plus permission. Now, when we ask for permission, here are some words I like to use. Would you like to know how I'm going to do this? Or would you like to know my plan? Or would you like to know what Joe did? Or would you like to know Ed's secret? Or would you like to know how Mary was able to do that? Or would you like to know how Joyce gets her extra check? And they have a chance then to say yes or no. If they're not interested, that's fine. If they are interested, let's talk. So think of all the benefits, all the way that we could introduce this in conversation. So I could say things like, Mary now makes more money part-time than she did when she was working full-time. Would you like to know what she did? Yeah, tell me more. My friend Jerry, he gets paid extra money every time his neighbors pay their electricity bill. Would you like to know his secret? Yeah. My part-time business helps me earn enough money I can take every Friday off, so I have three-day weekends forever. Would you like to know how I did that? Yeah, tell me more. I have a part-time business where I get paid to help other people. Would you like to know how that business works? You know what? I think I would. So those are nice ways of getting people to say, yes, let's sit down and have a conversation. But here's what's really cool. When we sit down to have that conversation, they have already made up their mind that they want it. Now they just need some details. Now, I'd like to share with you some good news and some bad news. Here's the bad news. When you and I talk to people, they're going to make up their minds, yes or no, about our business before they've even heard the name of the company, before they've heard how old the company is, before they've heard about all the awards or records the company has done. Before any of this, they make up their minds. And you're thinking, really? Are you telling me that they're going to make up their mind before they hear our wonderful compensation plan? Oh, yeah. Way before that. Are they going to make up their minds before I tell them all about? They're going to make up their minds right away. The way the human mind works is when we see something, we make an instant yes or no decision if we're interested or not. Instantly. Now, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. The good news is we only have to be good at talking with people for about 10 or 15 seconds because by then they've already made up their mind. So all we have to do when we get started is learn how to handle the first 15 seconds or so when we talk to people because that's when they make their final decision. Now, when I first heard this, I just thought, that's just crazy talk. But people do make decisions before we've even talked about our business. They've already made a decision. They want it or not, if they want to work with us or not. And I'll just do a quick example. Let's say in your town there's a hotel, and me and Mary are at the front of the room doing a little presentation. So at the end of the presentation, Mary says, all right, the meeting is going to be officially over in 5 minutes. And after the meeting, Big Al and I are going to the ice cream parlor to have ice cream. Who wants to come with us? Half of the room raises their hand. They have made an instant yes decision. They want to come for ice cream. And they made their instant yes decision before they heard where the ice cream parlor was located, before they learned how many flavors of ice cream, before they watched the video of the ice cream parlor, before they found out if Mary is going to pay for the ice cream or they're going to have to pay themselves. Half the room made an instant yes decision before any details. And half the room made an instant no decision before any details. And they said no in their minds because they said, oh, I'm lactose intolerant. I can't eat ice cream. Or I got to get home and take care of the babysitter, so I can't stay very long after the meeting. Instantly. Both the yes decision and the no decision happened before any details. Now, I'm going to give another example. And once we get this, that people make a decision right away, we say, all right, I got it. I'm going to have to help people make decisions quickly in my business. So here's the second example. I come to you and I say, can I take your babies skydiving with me? And you say, no, you can't take my children skydiving. They're my precious children. Or instantly you might say, man, they've been such a pain today. I'll help push them out of the airplane. But isn't that interesting? That if I come to you and say, can I take your children skydiving with me, that you and I are going to make an instant yes or no decision right away. before the details. Before the details. We made that decision about skydiving before I told you that I'm a certified skydiver, before I told you that I'm successful 3 out of 4 times, before I told you that we're only going to skydive. So we feel how the human brain makes instant decisions. So the human brain does this. It says, man, there's a lot of things I could be thinking about. I could be thinking about the TV tonight, what I'm going to do tomorrow, where I'm going to go on holiday. Should I watch this show right now? Should I go and look at those birds that are flying by? Should I call my friends? So there's so many decisions happening. And the human brain can only consciously make one decision at a time. And it says, man, I can't think very long about that decision because if I do, all these other decisions will have to wait. So the human mind very quickly says, I see a dog over there. I can't stop walking and go pet it because I have to keep walking to the store. And I heard a noise over there, but it didn't sound too loud, so I don't have to worry about it. Let me put my decision attention on something else. So the human mind says, I have to make decisions fast. If the decision is no, we're done. If the decision is yes, then I will stop long enough for details. I don't want details first. I want to make a yes or no decision first. Because if you had to wait for details before we made a yes or no decision, it would be terrible. Here's an example. I said, hey, let me tell you how Swiss watches work and how the gearing mechanism inside, how the different sprockets and cogs line up and how they use a special stainless steel and how the weight of the flywheel. And then 1 hour later, I say, and do you want a Swiss watch or not? You don't want to do that. You want to say, do I want a Swiss watch or not? If the answer is no, I don't want to listen to an hour of useless details. I have other stuff to do with my mind. Or if you say, yeah, I want a Swiss watch, maybe I should listen to it. So remember, the decision comes first, and then the details come later. So when you and I talk to people, always remember they're going to make their yes or no decision very quickly. Nothing in our presentation is really going to make that much difference. It's how we start. So I'll give you a little formula that pros use when they talk to people. Now, this is just one way of doing it, but it's a pretty cool way of doing it. And that is to understand, what do people worry about more? Do they worry about, what's something good, or do they worry about things that are bad? He said, well, people worry about things that are bad. They worry about their problems. And the answer is yes, we always worry about our problems. We have a survival program in our mind that says, just think about problems. We got to survive. And if you ever talk to somebody at a party, you probably notice this. After we say, hi, what is your name? Where do you live? What do you do for a living? Once we get past that small required chit-chat, that's when people start telling you about their problems. Oh, I had this pain yesterday. Oh, the car broke down. Oh, my children are such a problem. Humans are programmed to talk about problems. You probably notice that. You go to a party, you meet somebody, and as soon as they can, they start telling you all of their problems. Now, why do people do that? Well, first of all, because they're always thinking about their problems. But number two, they tell us their problems because they hope that we will feel sorry for them and love them more. It's a natural human program. Everybody does this. Some people do it more. Some people do it less. But most people love to talk about their problems. And you just think about when the family reunion gets together and stuff, problems, problem, problem. This is great. People love to talk about their problems. So here is what the pros do. Number one, instead of talking, let me tell you about the ambit compensation plan. No, instead of talking, they just listen to the other person to see if they have a problem. All right? Now, we're going to listen until we hear a problem that we think we can fix. They say, well, I have a problem with my left foot. Well, we can't fix that. And I have a problem with my children not listening to it. Oh, we can't fix that. But I have a problem that, you know, I have to commute to work 1 hour each way. Ooh, we could do something about that. And I have a problem that gas is so expensive that it costs me a lot of money just to go to work. Ooh, we could do something about that problem. So we're going to listen to people to see if they have a problem. So step one, if you're keeping track, listen to see if they have a problem. Now, once we know what the problem is, when it's our chance to talk, what we're going to do is ask them if they want to fix their problem. Now, if we ask people if they want to fix their problem, what are the two possible answers? Yes or no. Now, how do you do this? So I'll give you an example. Many, many years ago, my mother got diabetes. And I asked my mom, step number two, do you want to fix your diabetes problem? And she says, well, you know, she didn't want to fix it. You know, and I went and I bought her some vitamin tablets and asked her to try them. 30 days later, she says, well, I can't swallow pills. So I said, all right. So I went and found her some vitamins that were like in a liquid she could take. I came back 30 days later. She says, oh, I can't swallow pills or liquids. Only your mother would say something like that. So I got the idea she didn't want to fix her problem. Now, why didn't she want to fix it? Because she enjoyed visiting the doctor every 2 weeks. It's kind of a social call in the small farming community. She didn't want to fix it. So that's okay. Our business only is with people who want to fix their problems. So they mention the problem. Oh, it costs so much in gas to go back and forth to work. And we say, well, do you want to fix that problem? Yes or no? They say, well, that's kind of direct. Could you say it a little softer? All right. Have you ever considered some ways of fixing that problem? Oh, that's nice and soft. Okay. Have you ever considered some ways of fixing it? And they're going to say, well, not really. All right. But I would like to fix it. So step number two, ask them if they want to fix their problem. If they don't want to fix their problem, we're done. If they do want to fix their problem, now we can continue the conversation. If they don't want to fix their problem, here is what you can say. And what else bothers you? And they'll go back talking more about their problems and everything's fine. So step number three, find out when our prospects want to fix their problem. When? Now or sometime in the future. So I ask them, well, so when would you like to fix that problem? Most people are going to say, like, right away. Right away. And then we can say these words. Then we should talk. Then we should talk. That's it. And when we talk, we can give them an option to fix their problem with our business, or they can take the option of keeping their problem. So when we sit down and talk to them, here's what's really cool. We don't have to sell. We don't have to close. All we have to do is show them the solution and give them the option. And they're going to feel relaxed. I'm in charge of my options. So, well, here's one way to fix it. And they can decide if having an extra paycheck from our business is a good way to fix their problem, or they can decide to keep their problem and keep their life exactly the way it is. And I have just a little way of doing that, and here are the words. So after I show them a way of fixing it, so I just say, so what is going to be easier for you? 9 words. So what is going to be easier for you? Now, if you say that, most people are programmed to take what's easier. So what's going to be easier for you? To continue keeping your problem of driving back and forth to work, paying a lot of money for gas, or to get started tonight on starting building your Ambit business. So what's going to be easier for you? to continue working at that job you hate for the rest of your life? Or to get started tonight on a business where maybe by January you could be doing it full time and don't have to go to work? So, what's easier for you? To continue working that job where you just don't like the work at all, it makes you unhappy, or to get started tonight on a part-time business where you can make money just by having 5 coffee breaks a day chatting with people? So, what's going to be easier for you? To start your business now so you have an extra part-time check to pay those bills, or to continue trying to get by on one paycheck? So, what's going to be easier for you? To continue waking up at 6 a.m. every morning to commute to a job you don't like for the rest of your life, or to get started now so you can start building a career where you can do something different? And that's it. So, let me wrap it up here. I'll give it back to Maskud. And those are just some tips to get us started to learn what to say so we talk to people better. So let me turn it back here to your leader, and thank you for your time this evening.
Sir, that was a fantastic training. Got pages of notes. I feel like I read another book or a couple of books already. Sir, do you want to talk a little bit about your upcoming book so everyone has a chance? I have the excerpt from the first chapter. And I'll put that for people to download, sir, too, also.
Yes. Keith and I, I've written 40-some books on network marketing, how to do things like appointments or closing or icebreakers, you know, things like we talked about today and mindset and all this. But we have our next book. What we're going to do is make it free for 30 days before we give all our books to Amazon so they can sell them. But if you'd like to get a copy of the new book free, all you have to do is send a email, and we'll put you on the list. So when the new book comes out in about, I'm guessing about 4 weeks, it's going to have a lot of ways. It's going to show you how to do this business within your comfort zone. So if you want a free copy of it, just drop an email, and let me give you an email address to Big Al, B-I-G-A-L, Big Al, at fortunenow.com, FORTUNENOW, fortunenow.com. So if you were to send an email to say, you know, I want to copy the free book, we'll put you on the list. And as soon as it's ready for download, we'll send you a link. You can just download the book for free and share it with your team. Have fun doing it. So send the email to Big Al at fortunenow.com, FORTUNENOW.com. That's it. And we'll be happy to send you the link so you can download it during those 30 days before we have to give it to Amazon. So thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Guys, I'm telling you, if you have written down the notes that I have, actually, if you don't have all the notes, listen to the call again. The call is going to be posted tomorrow night. And once that's posted, it'll be easy for you to share that with your team members. If the team members have missed this call, there are so many nuggets just right now for inviting, prospecting, and even closing the consultants there. So, guys, listen, Ambition is very close. Ambition 60 days away. We're 60 days away from our biggest convention, guys. And I'm hearing that there are some changes that are coming. There are some great bonuses that will be available, and there are some good announcements. So make sure that you're signed up, your team signed up for Ambition. And right now, they are running that EC Power Team contest. I know that your executive consultant that is above you there would like for you to get, you know, registered right away so that they can win that EC Power Team. The EC Power Team allows them to have special seating for people at Ambition. So I appreciate you very much for jumping on the call. I'm going to open up the call. If you guys want to hear Big Al again, let me know. It was awesome to listen to Big Al. Every time I get a chance to listen to him, it enlightens me and takes me to a different level. So let me go ahead and open the call up so that everyone can say thank you and good night to Big Al.